This podcast is a part of the Podmania Podcasting Network. Check out podmania.co.uk to check out more of our great podcasts, features, reviews, match ratings and previews spanning the crazy and diverse world of professional wrestling. Hello everyone and welcome to Pure Retrospective, a monthly podcast looking back at some of the most important moments, storylines, matches, angles and shows from all your favourite Pure Retro companies. For those that remember, myself and Chris had a New Japan podcast way back when called the Young Lion Cast, but we simply couldn't keep up with that, Stardom and all the other wrestling we watched, so it ground to a halt. However, during that podcast's dying days, we started a retrospective on the Okada vs. Tanahashi feud starting back in 2012, and it was something we loved doing, but never finished. So the first three episodes of this podcast's run will be the repackaged Young Lion Cast episodes, and will be released weekly on a Sunday at 11 p.m. British Standard Time, before we jump into the end of 2013, post-invasion attack, to continue the story. We hope you enjoy listening and will join us as we delve deeper into the rich and storied history of Pure Retro. I am your host, Rob Goodname, joined as ever by Chris O'Brien. How are you, Chris?
Concerned. Like, Jesus keeps telling me he loves me, but I really worry about the age gap.
Oh, what? Just what? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to ignore that because that seems to be the only way I can get through these podcasts nowadays. We are continuing with our limited edition series documenting the feud between Okada and Tanahashi. Sorry, drop my phone off my desk. So last week we looked at Wrestle Kingdom 6, where Okada had a 5-star classic with Yoshihashi. We looked at the Tanahashi main event against Suzuki, where he broke the consecutive IWGP Heavyweight Championship's defense. And then we looked at the Okada Rainmaker Shock, where he would then pin Hiroshi Tanahashi at the New Beginning Show to win the championship, defeating the icon of New Japan. Now, in this episode, entitled, as you've seen from the podcast, Okada's First Reign, we are going to have a look at his two title defenses, and then we are looking at the second installment of Okada versus Tanahashi from Dominion 2012. Is there anything you want to add, Chris, before we delve headlong into this?
That not be you're not going to shout at me for.
Okay. Should we just move on? Should we go straight into it, buddy?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So we move then to the anniversary show, the 40th anniversary show. Now, as we stated in the last podcast, every show in this year is called 40th anniversary because obviously it's a big deal for New Japan having gone from 1972 to 2012. It does make, as Chris mentioned in the last podcast, things fucking impossible to find on New Japan World because they've all got absolutely ridiculous names.
I don't even search on New Japan World. I just keep going until I'm at 2015 and just work my way through.
So anyway, we talked about the New Beginning Show in 2012 in February, and Chris mentioned that one of the bonus matches to check out was the Nakamura-Naito semi-main event, in which Naito, who at this point was being pushed by Bushiroad as the organic babyface, almost a successor to what Tanahashi was at the time, he'd just defeated Nakamura. And this was supposed to be a huge thing, probably the biggest thing coming out of that show. And then Okada said, no, hold my beer. Now, it was a sort of an informal number one contendership match anyway, but Naito sort of, I think, a little bit disgruntled at being one-upped anyway, challenged Okada for the championship. And that challenge would take part at the actual 40th anniversary show. at Corrigan Hall in March. Now, I must admit, Chris, I know Corrigan is a hotbed for Japanese wrestling. However, in this match, that might be the hottest Corrigan crowd I've heard ever. That was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they were completely on fire. Naito was over, which surprised me. I'm going to be shitting on Naito basically up until 2016. Because, oh my fucking god.
What do you mean?
Well, he's such an obvious Tanahashi. You know, it's a Roman Reigns type thing where they so obviously wanted him to be John Cena, but we didn't seem to understand what made John Cena work.
Yeah, I get that, because obviously in the WWE, John Cena managed to continue the push that he was on because he was an incredibly charismatic individual. Roman Reigns didn't have that. And you're absolutely right. You watch Tanahashi captivate an audience and you just, you know, he oozes star quality. And I do get what you're saying. Naito is not that person. Naito did not ooze anything close to charisma at this point. I mean, you look at him now, he uses nothing but charisma. He's a fucking charisma. What's the opposite of a vacuum? A charisma blower? That doesn't make sense. A charisma oozer. That also doesn't make sense. Basically, he's got charisma coming out of his arse. A charisma cannon! Yes, I like that. Well done. But yeah, at this time, aside from having a good moveset and a flashy finisher, that was all he had.
Well, you say that. He had New Japan dojo training, so like he had a he could shoot, probably shoot not with Batman, but he could probably shoot and somewhat hold his own. And then you have the fact that he was a good wrestler. He was a very proficient wrestler. Like, we saw here how good he is at like limb targeting and psychology. But like, who cares? Because when he comes out, I'm just like, I would rather be shitting in my hands and clapping than watching this man win a championship.
Not just that, Chris. It's got to a point where, you know, anyone that comes out of the New Japan Dojo is a very, very good wrestler. It's not necessarily just good wrestling that you're invested in. I mean, you look up and down the New Japan roster, you've got fantastic wrestlers on all levels.
Yeah.
What sets you apart is, as we've said, the star quality, the charisma, and Naito didn't have that.
Yeah, like it's going to sound really harsh saying this, but like a modern day Yoshi-Ashi, where like Yoshi-Ashi is probably in like objective terms, like a really, really good worker. But like, he's so generic. Like, you look at, like, in terms of like just pure like work rate and moveset, like he's on level with, he could be on level with like an Ishii or a Goto. But then because both Ishii and Goto have their niche and Yoshi-Ashi doesn't, Yoshi-Ashi suffers because of it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I still don't think he's that good a worker. I think he's a solid worker. I think he's a good hand. I think he's a tier below Ishii and Goto, personally, but that's just because I love Ishii. You know, I'm a massive Ishii mark. I don't buy him as a babyface, and I mentioned that in the last podcast. I actually thought that being a bit of a dickhead heel, I actually think it gave him a bit of character that he could have worked with. He would have been perfect for someone like Suzuki-Gun.
You look at Yoshi-Ashi, and his best matches are when someone's pulling character out of him. Like, Ishii's a perfect example who can pull character out of Yoshi-Ashi, because the story is basically always, come on, get on my level. I want you to be on my level.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have somehow went on a Yoshi-Ashi tangent.
Well, there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. In the last podcast, we mentioned that Yoshi-Ashi had joined Chaos. Chaos were a heel stable, because at the moment it feels like Chaos are basically the face stable of New Japan, whereas when they were initially set up by Shinsuke Nakamura, they were heels.
There was a faction from Great Bash Heel.
I thought it was wasn't it from Rage?
I might be getting mixed up.
Rise, not Rage. Rise.
Right.
Sorry, don't know why I've called them Rage. Either way,
it's about as good a name.
Yeah. Either way, they were an extension of one of those, and they became the heel faction. Now, the reason I brought this up is obviously Okada had been recruited by Nakamura into this stable. That happened just before the New Beginning show. So That's why we get cocky, arrogant, dickhead Okada in the next three matches. Now, let's talk about the entrances for the Corican Hall show. I missed Naito's entrance. It was that bland. I genuinely didn't realise he'd entered the bloody arena. So that just goes to sort of piggybacks on what we were saying earlier about having that star quality, that charisma. Because when Okada enters, full head of purple hair now, not just the weird purple streak he had at New Beginning, he opens his arms and the Okada dollars, Chris. We get debut of the Okada dollars.
It was great.
It's fantastic. And you can see people like, money! And then they realize it's got Okada's face on. You can see them all being really disappointed. It's brilliant.
What a heel move.
But, I mean, this is his first title challenge. But he feels like a champion here.
Yeah. He, like, again, he's went from, like, surprise winner to ace in, like, a month.
Yeah. And I think by the end of his first title reign, he is universally seen as that, a legitimate title contender. Because, as we stated in the last podcast, he's won the belt. Now he's got to prove himself with it. And his first proving block is this Naito match. So, Chris, opinion on this Naito match? Because I know that me and you might possibly disagree on a few things.
When this match started, I wasn't massive on it because there were so many fucking wrestles and I didn't feel like it was going anywhere. And then suddenly Naito started attacking Okada's leg. And then the match started working.
It really did. And it piggybacked a little bit onto the New Beginning match. Because even though Tanahashi hadn't come into it with a game plan, he sort of on the fly started targeting Okada's legs, obviously the dragon screw leg whips and the clover leaf. Naito was far more focused on that knee.
And it makes complete sense because literally all of Okada's moves revolve around him, with the exception of a Rainmaker, revolve him smashing his leg into the ground.
Exactly. So many of his, like the missile drop kick where he kicks someone off the top, pardon me, the neck breaker onto his knee. The Tombstone Piledriver, where he lands on his knee, and this will sort of go into their the Dominion match we're going to talk about later. But Naito was phenomenal in his just relentless targeting of this limb, whether it's knee bars, whether it's the fantastic Rainmaker reversal, or whether it's that brilliant spot where he's tied Okada's knee up into the barricade, goes to the apron and hits a missile dropkick off the apron onto the barricade. That was fantastic. That was absolutely brilliant. And
That's the point where this match went from a fairly interesting leg match to something great. Like, that's the one thing you sort of need when you're working over one limb. Like, you can very easily work over one limb, but you need to start being creative about it. And, like, you can either do that by, like, for example, adapting your moveset. For example, in a G1 match against Juice Robinson, when Juice Robinson had a broken arm, all of Naito's moves end up revolving around that arm, or you start doing shit like this, which sort of called back to earlier in the match where Okada trapped Naito's neck and started kicking the barricade.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Okada had a plan. His entire offense bases around destroying his opponent's neck. So he started doing that to Naito, and Naito started absolutely destroying Okada's knee. And at this point now, it's a pace above Okada Tanahashi's match from New Beginning. I feel like it's a quicker, more focused pace from both men. I feel like the reversals were a bit more smooth. And I just felt this was a really, really, really good challenge. The crowd were absolutely electric throughout this. And massively, massively behind Naito, which was strange considering basically how boring he was.
Yeah. But, like, to be fair, I think it's because they were still angry at Okada.
Possibly. But he did his job. He was a dickhead heel champion. People didn't want to cheer for him.
He kept... Every time Okada got remotely any momentum, Naito could just swing it back, with just by hitting one move to the leg, because Okada, for someone so new to the business a bit, well, not new, but like so new to like main events at this point, sold his leg excellently.
Yeah, absolutely. I did mean to say like that earlier.
You look at someone like Kento Miyahara, who's been in main events for years now, has only recently started selling limbs properly.
Spam the knee strike!
But yeah, like, last thing, Naito was smart, but Okada would just throw the book at him. Like, he hit a tombstone on the ground, because apparently that's just his kink, which is fine in the confines of your own wrestling match. And then absolutely sick, like, one of the sickest DDTs I've ever seen in my life.
Is Naito the best person at spiking himself on a DDT? I think he might be.
RVD.
Oh, yeah, RVD is pretty good. I'm thinking about, obviously, this one and then the one that Naito took from Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom 13. Where he took it on the ramp and then on the table, just top of his head.
I'd say we're on par.
Okay. I mean, it's a moot point, really, but I'm just interested. but yeah, and then once again, after a fantastic closing stretch with some brilliant reversals from Naito, eventually Okada managed to absolutely fucking obliterate him with another wonderful, wonderful Rainmaker. Again... This is less than 2 months from that ridiculously poor attempt of Wrestle Kingdom 6. It's impossible to conceive that it's the same move at this point.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of an example of where a move actually got better. Like, this much.
It's difficult because, I mean, at this point now, when we're talking 2020, people kick out of the Rainmaker all the time. But here, he pinned Tanahashi with one. He pinned Yoshihashi with half a one, and he pinned Naito with one. And the Naito one and the Tanahashi one, they're better than he does them now, in my opinion.
You've just put the image of 2.5 Rainmakers in my head, and it's just like the 2.5 men theme.
Men, 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 menly men, men.
It's like just two Okadas and then a smaller Okada.
Altogether, Chris, what was your thought on this match? What did you give it? What do you think?
I thought it was really good. I guess, like, those points, despite knowing the result, I sort of like shot up a little bit because, oh my god, Naito might do it, and of course he won't, because this was 8 years ago.
and against Okada.
And yeah, I liked how like seeds were planted, because that's just what happens in New Japan. Seeds are always planted in the first match and then it's carried over. For example, him eating shit on the Stardust press, that would just become something he does a lot. Some would say too much, 2 years too late. Anyway, yeah, like the limb targeting was fine. I kind of felt like Okada was ignoring it in the final stretch, but you know. Needs must, I guess. I'd give it a high 8. Like, it's really, really good.
I give it 9. You know how much I love a limb match, and I think Naito, how relentless he was with that knee, like I've already said, and how Okada sold it. Yeah, fine, for the last stretch, maybe he didn't sell it as well as he could have done. But again, his main, that entire main sequence is about hitting the Rainmaker. And he doesn't necessarily need to use the knee as much for the Rainmaker. Especially when he ends it, because all he's got to do is fall on top of his opponent and then he's won. One thing I do want to mention is the smiles. And just every time the camera cut to Okada's face and he just hit Naito with a move, whatever it was, he just had this proper shit-eating grin on his face. And it was brilliant. It was like a proper, oh, fuck off, Okada, you prick. He really elicited that reaction out of the crowd just by this cocky, arrogant, playboy look on his face, like, I am so fucking good.
Yeah, like, if... It's sort of like Sammy Guevara, it's for a modern comparison.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we're just like, oh, look at this entitled little shit. Despite the fact that I'm sure Guevara's older than me, but still.
And then, but he follows it up in the ring, and you're like, fuck. Yeah, he is pretty good. And you can feel it in Corican Hall, even though they are 100% behind Naito because you defeated Tanahashi, you dickhead. You know, there was still a sense of, Jesus, he is actually really good in the ring, isn't he? So, yeah, just an absolutely fantastic match. I really, really, really enjoyed this match far more than I thought I would do. Let's move on then. So, just after the anniversary show, we start the New Japan Cup. And the New Japan Cup at this point in 2012 is won by serial loser Hiroki Goto, who actually defeats Tanahashi in the final and will then go on to challenge Okada at Wrestling Dontaku. Chris, is there anything you want to say about this period or anything in particular?
Goto beating Tana was a good... So going into... before the Rainmaker Shock, there were basically two main candidates for pinning Tanahashi and becoming the new ace. And it's basically Goto, as weird as it is in hindsight, and Naito. And so Okada sort of beating the two possible replacements sort of solidified him as that. So that's a good story beat. It's very rare you get Icy versus IWGP champion. The IC belt is definitely not looking like itself.
No, I was going to say that. Bronze and black IC championship. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, Nakamura introduced the white look because he was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Thank you. We appreciate that massively, Nakamura. I can't begin to describe.
But yeah, like the copper belt, it just looks like such an... It looks worse than the never belt.
It does. It just looks very, very bland, very generic WWE 2K generic championship, doesn't it?
It's like, oh, we had 3 minutes to do to make this belt for Mum called us for tea.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the secondary singles title at the moment, does it? I mean, it was the inception was 2011, I think, when MVP won it.
Yeah. No, yeah, because it was last year during Tan's reign.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's less than a year old at this point. So, obviously, it hasn't got the prestige it needs. But Goto holding it, and Goto at this point was being pushed massively and would continue to be pushed massively into 2013 and 14.
Well, he's pushed massively before that. He won the G1 in
2009, he won it.
Oh, was it?
Actually, because I have reviewed this for the site. He beat Makabe.
Because it was during the Great Bash Heel versus everyone else feud.
Yeah, just let me check. Carry on talking.
I don't know what to say now.
Ad lib.
Okay, what I have in my hand right now is...
You were right, it was 2008.
Okay, so I don't need to read that.
No, you don't.
I don't need to read part of Morrissey's biography, good.
Please stop.
But yeah, like going into this match, Okada was basically going through like what were meant to be the replacements and beating them. He was basically terminating them.
Yeah.
And then this match happened, and I don't like this match very much.
Right. So for me, I like Goto.
I also like Goto. Like, the only time I didn't like him was when he was making the never seen bad, like during the last part of 2018 to beginning of 2019, because he desperately needed time off. And now that he had that time off, came back, he's been great ever since. Like, putting on consistent bangers with whoever he's put in the ring with. And like, it was sort of the same back then. He was super over as well.
He was massively over, but again, he was being pushed correctly. I think the problem was in 2018 is that he'd burnt out. I mean, he was still having good matches in ring, but people were sick of seeing him.
He kept being given like sort of the Fallen Samurai thing, which works for him, but like he was having one of them every year.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, here, absolutely huge reaction for Goto, but again, more and more people, and you could see, if you look at the transition from the New Beginning show to the anniversary show to the Dontaku show, more and more people are buying into Okada as the champion. More and more people can see this guy has got the star factor that unfortunately neither Goto nor Naito actually have.
Yeah, he's Rock and charisma. From what I understand, for Japanese speakers, he's not an exceptionally good promo, but that's what Gato's for. So, like, they were pushing him, like, completely right. Like, we didn't make a... We absolutely didn't make a misstep of his first reign. Yeah, the Okada dollars are back, which I kind of miss nowadays. He doesn't tend to use them.
No, he got replaced by the Bloons and then never got bought back. Fucking Bloons.
To be fair, I enjoyed that. I just don't think we went far enough. I think he should have went crazier. I think he should have just started drinking with Yano.
I think he should have gone over in the G1. That would have really, really fucked people up.
No, that would have been great. I wanted that to happen, but then they were like, no, we're going to make him lose twice and then win every other fucking match, like he's Kushida or something. But yeah, going on to this match, the first part was all right, like the technical exchange, like first 5 minutes. And then when they both went outside, Okada tried to drag Goto for the floor power driver, because that's just what he does now. And Goto was like, nah, I've got this character, and brought him back. And then started, Rob, 10 minutes of fucking nothing.
The way I saw it, the way I read this match, was that Goto had taken a very Tanahashi-like approach to the start of this match. Because even though Okada was champion, you could see Goto not taking him seriously as a champion, as a competitor. And I think for the first, you know, what, quarter of the match, Goto was taking it easy. He thought, I'll be able to annihilate this guy. He's fucking shit. You know, he's a young lion that's come back. He's basically a pretender to the throne. And the more the match progressed, the more Goto realised, ah, shit, I'm going to have to actually put effort in. And but here, yeah, but... you had a different Okada. He was basically being a cowardly dickhead heel. He was... Yeah. Trying to get away from Goto's really stiff offense. You know, I don't want to be part of that bullshit. No, fuck off.
Yeah, but also, up until the point where they started delivering bombs, that story wasn't effectively as effective as it could be. If it was more effective, I would have praised it, but it wasn't, and it just felt like 10 minutes of stalling because we have to go half an hour. Which is
no,
possibly,
fair
it's a,
enough.
It's a problem you get a lot in. Like you saw it in the Kenta versus Naito match and the Taichi versus Okada match from earlier this year. It's just a problem with the current format of New Japan main events. It doesn't mean it's not fucking frustrating. Because like, don't get me wrong, when we start throwing bombs at each other, oh my fucking god.
Yeah, that's the side of Goto that I love. That's the side of Okada and Goto and this match that I loved, but. Yeah, I do see your point. It did sort of lull a little bit in the middle. Once we got into the stuff approaching that closing stretch where...
As soon as Goto hit a massive backdrop, it just started. Like, an angle slam, but like the angle slam led to Okada landing on his head.
Well, there was a couple of bits, and I'm wondering if this was something they were trying to tell, about how even though Okada is the champion at this point, he's still a very... inexperienced champion, because you had the botched Rainmaker attempt, you had the, and it was a very obvious botch. They tried it again and saved it a little bit by Goto in the Yushigiroshi. Then you had, there was a bit where he tried to grab Goto to take him through the gate, and then that sort of didn't work and looked a bit clunky. And there were a couple of moments that looked like that. And I don't know whether I'm just creating a story in my own head, but it could be, you know, the knee damage they'd sustained from Tanahashi at New Beginning, Naito at the anniversary show. They didn't play it enough in this match. I think if Goto had thought, right, well, I'm just going to fuck your knee up even more, that would have been brilliant. Would have worked
more. Goto didn't normally do shit like that, so it kind of makes sense. But also, like, it did lead to a lot of this match just feeling pointless. Like, a lot... Up until the bombs, nothing felt like it contributed. Like, the three parts, to me, didn't connect. Like, the three...
I agree.
It's fine. Like, it's sort of like an evil match where, like, the first two-thirds is bollocks, but then the last third is amazing. Like, because seriously, the finishing stretch was up there with any finishing stretch from today. Like, Jesus Christ, the top rope, Yoshigiroshi.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was an absolutely outstanding moment. He doesn't do that properly now. He doesn't do the top rope, Yoshigiroshi.
No, he doesn't even do Yoshigiroshi properly now. Like, what happened to you, Goto? You lost for hunger.
I think as well, at this point in the last stretch, Okada's starting to panic. because he is very much on the back foot.
He is very clearly not thinking straight.
No, and when he does hit that Rainmaker, it's very much it. He scrabbles to get to that pinfall. He's like, I can't have this going any fucking longer. And then eventually pins him and wins. But that stuff like that worked really, really well in this match because he just had a really, really good technical match with Naito. To then go here and basically be beaten around like a beach ball by Goto worked really well. It was a different challenge. I do agree with you. Maybe it didn't need to go the amount of time it did. But I do think there were elements of this match that were fantastic. Oh,
parts of this match were really, really, really good. It's just you need to connect. It's trying to tell three different stories and didn't really tell many of them effectively until the end.
Yeah, I agree, it
is still a good match. Like, it speaks to how good it is that we've managed to go this long without talking about Goto's hammer pants.
I forgot about them. Thank God for his gear now. Jesus.
It's just a running theme of Goto making really questionable fashion choices.
I mean, I know it's a samurai thing, and I know it's, you know, it's all part of that culture, but
got over better. Remember his red attire from like 2016, 2017? Like, with a little samurai logo on his knee pads as well. I thought that conveyed samurai much better than this, where I'm just looking at you going and I'm thinking, you're a Poundland Shinya Hashimoto, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, going back to time, went 24 minutes and 55 seconds. If this had have been 20 minutes, this could have been a 9 out of 10, easily. But I do agree with you, it did lag in the middle, and whereas I didn't feel that for the Naito match, gave that 9 stars because I felt like there wasn't that black hole of nothingness that this sort of struggle
unless
from.
You're talking about Naito's gimmick.
What did you give this out of 10?
7.
I agree with you.
Like, I'm trying to think of it like a movie comparison, which is hard for me.
Of the 8 movies you've seen in your life.
Yes.
Is it High School Musical 1, 2, or 3, do you think, Chris?
Alright, tell you what though, High School Musical 2. Because the parts of that didn't connect, and they really needed to flesh out Gabriella and Troy's relationship, but they didn't. When they had him break up in the middle for no reason so we can go play baseball, it's kind of like that. This is the High School Musical 2 of matches, Rob. I do agree with you.
I immediately regret bringing that up. Anyway, afterwards, having had a tag match in the semi-main of Dontaku, Hiroshi Tanahashi comes out and challenges once again for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. He's ready to reclaim the crown that basically he thinks he had stolen from him by fluke. Okada sort of says yes for some reason. They have a pose off, and once again, Okada gets eviscerated. Nobody cheers for the Rainmaker pose. Not one person.
It's just not fair on him, is it?
It's not. But I will say, the exchange here at the end of Dontaku to the exchange they had at Wrestle Kingdom 6, there's no comparison. And not just because he's sorted his hair out. Okada looks like a different person. He carries himself like a different person. And like, he feels right in the ring with Tana.
How the fuck do you get your face less pudgy?
I think he just leaned up. I think he must have spent every waking minute of those 39 days between Yoshihashi and Tanahashi. He must have spent every single day in the gym because he looked like a different person.
And just imagine now Gedo just there going, don't give up, do it, keep going.
If you want, basically, I should have mentioned this last week. If you want a comparison between the two, look at the match graphics for Wrestle Kingdom 6 and the New Beginning.
Oh, in Wrestle Kingdom 6, he looks like a disaffected youth.
He looks like it looks like a different person. He looks about 15 for a start, and completely different person. Anyway, Tanahashi comes down, the match is set, match number 2 in their feud, and that will happen at Dominion 2012. And Chris, is there anything you want to add before we go to the 16th of June for this match?
I would if there was anything between the two in New Japan World.
Yeah, obviously we are struggling a little bit on 2012 because they haven't uploaded everything. But
I don't think they ever will. Because quite frankly, how many Captain New Japan matches do we need?
Hey. Yeah, you're right.
Captain fucking New Japan.
Can we just... sorry, I forgot to mention this before, and I need to mention it now because otherwise I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to mention it, because 2013's the start of Bullet Club. In the New Beginning match, did you notice Bad Luck Fale, who is obviously a young lion at this point.
Yeah, you can also see him in the Goto match. I forgot to mention he's stopping people from getting like near Okada in the crowd.
Well, there's also Evil and Hiromu. All of them are ringside. But the reason I brought up New Beginning specifically is because all the others are wearing the tracksuits or the t-shirts. Fale in the New Beginning show is wearing a fucking Spider-Man t-shirt.
I literally think it's because he didn't make a shirt big enough for him.
He was wearing a Spider-Man t-shirt, shorts, ankle socks and trainers. He looked like a tourist who'd walked into it and gone, oh no, I'm in the wrong place. I thought this was Morrison's. Shit.
Do they have Morrison's in Japan?
I don't know. But
to be honest, I imagine the sushi would be better. Actually, I imagine like you can't make like supermarket sushi better no matter where you are in the world. So.
There you go. There you go.
Very quickly, this Dominion card.
Yeah, I was just going to go on to that. Go on.
There's some decent stuff on here. For example, the Golden Lovers and Daisuke Sasaki, for some reason, taking on Bushi, Kushida, and Devitt. What a weird mismatch.
It is it is when you consider 2013,
Yeah, in hindsight. Chaos of Ishii and Yoshihashi and Rocky Romero, who apparently wasn't in Chaos, according to Cage Match, taking on Waratu, and I can't say that, and I have no fucking clue who he is.
In no way.
What's his rating on Cage Match? 6 out of 10. That's probably why I don't know who the fuck he is. Yuji Nagata and Captain New Japan.
Good God. Jesus Christ.
Captain Stardom's better. The IWGP tag title, junior tag titles. Liger and Tiger, which is such a weird team to me.
Yep. I agree with you.
It's like, oh, we have masks. Go on. taking on Taichi and Taka. This is a long card, so I'm going to stop doing it verbatim. But like, but it's so weird. Like, they seem to just put together people for superficial reasons. Like, again, Liger and Taka because masks. I literally don't know why they put MVP and Shelton Benjamin together.
Well, considering Dominion at the moment in 2020 is seen as the second, pardon me, biggest show of the New Japan calendar. You look down the card on this Dominion, a singles match with nothing, with no sort of prize at the end of it, would not fly as a semi-main in today's Dominion.
It depends on the feud, I guess.
Makabe versus Suzuki would not fly. You've then got in the third to last match, a tag team match with Tanaka and Nakamura defeating Goto and Naito. It doesn't feel like a special card. And I think...
No.
This...
Why is there two tag title matches? Sorry, I just noticed this.
Junior and heavyweight.
They're both Izuka and Tenkoji and they both ended in no contest.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm not going to watch that. This is basically the start of Dominion being a special show. And it's on the back of the main event with Tanahashi defeating Okada, getting his wind back in 28 minutes and 6 seconds. Now, Chris, going back from Goto, where we said that match had that lull in the middle, that went 24 minutes and 55 seconds. Here, this went 28 minutes, and it didn't feel like it went 28.
No, it didn't. It felt about as long as their New Beginning match.
Yeah, it did. And, well, on the flip side of their New Beginning match, this was fucking great. This was phenomenal.
Yeah, because, first of all, right down to how they carried themselves, now Okada was the cocky one, because he's like, I've beaten Tanahashi with his stupid flying V and Explorer if he's a nasty bitch. and then Tana's just not playing to the crowd at all. like, in any way.
There's so many parallels and so many callbacks to their first match. And I know you're obviously going to do that in, you know, trilogies and things like that. But here, it just, it's so poignant. It's such a, there's such a difference, a disparity between, you know, Tanahashi taking 6.5 minutes to get to the fucking ring because he's hugging every single fucking child on the way to the ring. And here, where, well, and then now he's taken, what, a minute to get down to the ring? There's no air guitar. And he's just like, there.
I have a game plan. I need to be focused. No one talk to me. No one talk to me.
It's great. Absolutely great. And the match follows suit. I absolutely love this match, Chris.
Yeah. It had the same story as Naito Okada, in the fact that Tanahashi kept going after the knee. But like when Tanahashi would go after the knee, he'd follow up with more attacks to the knee, whereas Naito would more attack the knee to create openings for different moves. Tana just wouldn't stop on the knee, like, at all, to the point where Okada couldn't, every time he hit his offense, he couldn't catch. Like, why, the reason he won a new beginning was because every time Tanahashi put together a run, one big bomb would stop Tanahashi in his tracks, whereas when Okada hit a bomb, he couldn't follow up because his knee was fucked and all his moves are knee based.
No, you're absolutely right. And there was one moment again where Tanahashi flung Okada into the corner, and Okada couldn't come out of the corner because he tried to like bounce off the turnbuckle and come back out, and his knee gave way. He tried to do the tombstone pile driver later on in the match, and we'll talk about that closing stretch, because fuck me, that closing stretch. But he tries to do a tombstone pile driver, and they really, really play on the fact that he can't do it because of his own knee. And I think you're right, there is a difference in the way that Naito targeted the knee and the way that Tanahashi targeted the knee. Neither of them are bad, but Tanahashi, the story is that he's seen that obviously the Rainmaker took a lot of punishment in New Beginning to the knee. He took a lot of punishment again at the hands of Naito at the anniversary show. So I'm going to continue to target that knee, because the more I target it, I'm chipping away at his offense, I'm chipping away at his vertical base. And that level of plan that he didn't have a New Beginning would ultimately serve the purpose of getting him that championship back. Because even though, right here, Okada felt like he belonged in the main event. And after this show, Meltzer goes on a big thing about how Okada has proved everyone wrong. And he has. But he's still inexperienced. And they play on that as well.
That's the thing, because the reason he was managed to overwhelm Naito is because Naito doesn't have a ton more experience than him. Whereas Tanahashi sort of just knew how to shut him down. Like, now that Tanahashi got a feel for him. It's like, you know what it's like, Rob? It's like Mega Man.
Go on.
Where the first time you beat it, you have no clue how to beat this boss, and you keep dying and keep dying and keep dying. And then the second, on your second run through, when you beat him all, you're like, yeah, I know how to beat you. Boom, you're dead.
Yeah, because I think Okada had a lot of similar offense to what he did in the New Beginning show, because, you know, that worked once. Why is it not going to work again?
Yeah, that's sort of become a hallmark of this feud. It's like, well, this worked before, so why wouldn't it work now?
Yeah, but the more they fought, the more they learned about each other, and that just, it continued to carry on throughout that story. The one moment I'm thinking of here, and it proved not necessarily a naivety, but an inexperience of Okada. So the first time that Tanahashi goes for the high fly flow, he goes for it and Okada rolls out of the way. Mm-hmm. After more sustained attacks on his knee,
He puts his knees up.
And that is the turning point in the match. That leads to him not being able to hit the tombstone pile driver and allowing Tanahashi to reverse it into his own tombstone pile driver, and ultimately leads to the high fly flows that sort of finish the match. And just that one moment of almost instinct taking over from his experience proves that, you know, that's why Tanahashi's the ace. That's why ultimately Okada at the moment, you are a novice. And it was such a quick story beat, but I absolutely loved it. And I love it when limbs, you know, he's targeted that limb all the way through the fucking match. Thank you for playing it into the finish. because that's what I want in my life. That
never happens. That, like, and just not just the limb targeting, but like the what we did here, where we just played off every, not only the last match but the title defense before that. I can't think of a match that does that in New Japan nowadays. Maybe when Jay White's in a feud with someone, like, for example, Jay White went mercifully after Naito's leg and neck at Wrestle Kingdom. But, like, other than that, I can't think of anyone who really wrestles like that in New Japan.
The last time that I remember it happening, and there probably are other times.
But, like, to this level.
Yeah, is when Jay White took the title off Tanner. Not even in that match in Osaka, it was actually the tag match in Sapporo, where Jay White had created an entirely new finisher called the Tanahashi Tap Out, the TTO, and literally just absolutely obliterated the knee of Tanahashi, then locked in that submission for him to tap out. But then, like, again, that's not how the main event, that's not how Osaka finished. But
yeah, but like, when, like, across matches do that. Like, Naito and Okada do that, and then, like, the Okada Omega feud do that. Like, loads of matches do that, like, but, like, this close together, no, it doesn't happen. Like, you look at the Okada Sanada matches from last year, in hindsight, they were all great as you're watching them, but they all blend together.
They were great spectacles, but here, yeah, there was a story from one event to another that involved so many more story beats and so many more people.
Yeah. But you're going to see, as we go through this, so many story beats ended up either derailing, like deliberately derailing, or playing into this feud. Like, this feud is going to go on with the formation of the biggest faction the world's seen since the NWO. It's going to involve the rise and fall of a would-be ace. It's going to just see invaders come in, and It's insane. It's insane the reach this feud had within just for promotion.
Yeah, absolutely. This match is a standalone then, the Dominion match. What did you give it out of 10?
Because of all the factors around it, because of how well it played it, I'm actually giving it a 10.
Well, I gave it a 9, but I have no problem giving it a 10. It was a phenomenal match. Really, really good.
I can only think of like 2 or 3 matches of theirs that I've seen that I like better than this one.
Are 2 of them Wrestle Kingdom 9 and Wrestle Kingdom 10?
Yes, of course you fucking are.
Well, speaking of Wrestle Kingdom, Chris, what have we got in store for episode 3?
Well, episode 3 is the road and then Wrestle Kingdom. It's going to be your main matches you're looking out for is Okada versus Karl Anderson in the G1 final. This is the only way I can get Rob to watch this fucking match so I can show him that Karl Anderson can actually fucking work.
Watched it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, it's reviewed on the site. I gave it 8 stars.
Oh. But I remember this being an argument like a year ago. And then Tana versus Marufuji, because I wanted to get one Tana title defense in there, and the only other one between G1 and Wrestle Kingdom was Suzuki at King of Pro Wrestling, which we've covered. So that's going to be a bonus match if you haven't seen that. Go watch it. It's one of the best matches in New Japan history.
Yep, got 5 stars from Meltzer, and it is the first match, what was it, in 5 years that got 5 stars in New Japan?
I think so. I don't know. But also, we gave it 10 out of 10, which is more important because we're more consistent with our ratings.
Apparently.
No, but we have. And then Okada versus Tana at the Dome, because, of course, I actually haven't seen this one. This is one of the few I haven't seen.
No, I haven't seen any of Wrestle Kingdom 7. I've watched Wrestle Kingdom 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Why did
12?
You skip 7?
I don't know. I've never seen 7. I watched 8 because I wanted to see the storyline between Naito and Okada. I've never seen Wrestle Kingdom 7. It's always just been one of them I just haven't seen. I haven't avoided it. But yeah, just never seen it. I actually wanted to watch 5 more than I wanted to watch 7. Don't know why.
Who headlined for? Oh, it was Kojima and. You know what I need to. There's 2 Dome shows I want to watch, and neither of them in New Japan. Actually, there's 3. There's the Giant Baba Memorial.
Yeah.
Because Vader versus Misawa. Oh my god. Big Egg Pro Wrestling Universe,
obviously, yeah,
and one we were meant to review like a year and a half ago now in Noah's Grand Voyage.
Oh, is that yeah, I know which one you're about.
Kawada versus Marufuji, Sasaki versus Kobashi, and Kenta versus I know who all these people, like, my main problem was I didn't know who all these people were back then. I know who they are now, so I probably wouldn't have any trouble. I might watch it today. Wait, no, I have something to do today. I might watch it tomorrow. Oh, I have something to do tomorrow. I'll watch it at some point. But anyway, your bonus matches for next time, Tana versus, oh, that's the wrong one, is Tana versus Suzuki at King of Pro Wrestling, because obviously, Okada versus Carl Anderson at King of Pro Wrestling, because a briefcase defense. I believe this is considered better than their G1.
Yeah, well, Okada's winning of the G1 is the first instance of, as we mentioned in the last podcast, of the winner choosing Wrestle Kingdom to be the base for their championship match.
And then everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to do that too. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, and then basically this was the first instance of New Japan going, yeah, you can do that, but because you're waiting so long, you've got to defend your briefcase. And obviously Carl Anderson was the first person he defended against.
Yeah, I can't think of who else he defended it against, but he did defend it again. I couldn't find it on World. But yeah, that's going to be next time. It's going to be fun. I'm actually more looking forward to part 4 because it involves seeds for Bullet Club. This is a little teaser for you there. And then again, Bullet Club wouldn't play into this story for like another year after that, but still.
Right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of this episode. Join us next week as we go on the road to the Tokyo.